A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.
Over rapid scenes of sports and athletes, a large block letter title comes into view. Untold. A round-faced white man with a pencil mustache parks out front of a low-rise building and lets himself in. A sign on the wall reads, Snack Systems, Inc.
People joke that I like to blow things up just to see where all the pieces land. A lot of people have called me a genius. But, you know, sometimes people call that reckless.
This is a story that broke last week and has been growing ever since.
A federal grand jury is going to begin hearing testimony this week from some very major athletes.
Investigating Victor Conti.
Victor Conti.
Victor Conti.
The president of Balco Laboratories.
Balco is a word that's now forever in the lexicon.
Balco.
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 The biggest doping scandal in sports history.
Articles had come out saying, I was a modern day Al Capone, the Balco mastermind, Dr. Frankenstein, from Balco.
They were searching for evidence linking Conti to a previously undetected steroid known as THG.
They called it the Clear. It is a designer steroid.
Made it for the sole purpose of cheating. It is now a full-blown conspiracy with ties to top athletes.
From baseball, football, track and field.
Including home run record breaker Barry Bonds.
There's a high drive!
The whole investigation, in my opinion, was all about chasing headlines.
Unfortunately, some in professional sports are not setting much of an example.
This is about values. It's about our culture.
Major League Baseball had a very, very serious problem with steroids. It wasn't dealt with.
I knew they didn't have the evidence that they claimed that they had. And that's why I walked out into a sea of reporters and did this.
Flex his muscles.
That meant this.
Victor Conti is a person that can come across to be anybody he wants to.
I mean, I think most people who hear and see Victor Conti realize him for who he is, and that's, a used car, snake oil salesman, bullshit artist.
It was fun. It was exciting. It was about trying to be great. When Marion Jones hit the finish line and won the gold medal, when Barry Bonds hit all those home runs.
Clips of Barry Bonds hitting every ball, then he hits a home run.
Bonds hits one.
Any of these great accomplishments, those are things that I'll always be proud of.
Sitting in a gym beside a boxing ring, Victor Conti smiles. Credits appear over shadowy scenes of singular athletes training. A Netflix documentary series, a Propagate and Stardust Frames production. A swimmer prepares to dive. A skateboarder leaps a staircase.
Strangers are
executive producers Ben Silverman, Howard T. Owens, and Isabel San Vargas. Executive producer Ryan Duffy. Produced by Carolyn Craddock and Jake Graham Felsen. Music by Brocker Way and Ali Helwai. Cinematography by Michael Latham. Edited by Evan Vetter. Developed as a documentary series by Chapman Way and McLean Way. Directed by Brian Storkel. A basketball player scores. A soccer player dribbles. The swimmer turns underwater. A runner catches their breath as the sun rises. The title, Untold Hall of Shame. As a light switches on inside the low-rise building, text reads, San Carlos, California. Inside, Victor gestures towards framed photographs hanging on the walls.
Welcome to the Hall of Fame, or Hall of Shame, depending upon your viewpoint. Okay, this is one of two autograph photos that I have from Barry. This one's to Victor and the other one is to Balco. And this is a Sports Illustrated of Marion Jones here. This is back in the 2000 time frame.
It's signed to Victor.
This is Tim Montgomery at the World Championships in 2001. That was in Edmonton, Canada. When we started working with him, his name was Tiny Tim, Charlie Francis. He said, show me somebody not on steroids and I'll show you the loser. There is a level playing field, it's just not the one everyone thought it was, okay?
A lot of these people use steroids, right?
From 1984, when I started Balco, until 2000, for 16 years, I never gave anybody any sort of illegal drugs. It was a legitimate business providing nutritional element information through comprehensive blood testing.
Thank you very much. Yes, as Ken stated, my name is Victor Conti, and I'm the executive director of Balco Laboratories, Balco standing for Bay Area Laboratory Cooperative, and I'm also the founder of something called the SNAC system.
They've called it Victor's Knack, that whatever I decide to do, I can go straight to the top. And I taught myself. I got a library card. And I pulled all these scientific journals, and I would read them all. I would cross zinc and muscle strength, zinc and testosterone. I learned athletes could be low in iron, they could be lower in copper. Some of these deficiencies are connected with various symptoms like muscle cramps or lack of concentration.
And we hopefully, by giving some input, we can help the United States win a few more gold medals.
I put together this partnership and raised money and started Balco.
Archive footage.
Update on the Balco Laboratory facility. There's a new building. We'll walk into the lab area.
We started testing athletes. One led to another, and first world-class athletes that I tested were in track and field. And then Matt Biondi, who was the world's fastest swimmer at the time. So I could collect all this data that was valuable to them. You know, I was kind of a natural-born promoter. The next thing you know, NBA players. I worked with the entire Seattle Supersonics team in 92 and 93. But for me to actually enhance the performance of the athletes, I had to learn how to formulate supplements. So I created a whole line of mineral and trace element products and formulated ZMA. And that, I mean, it was like a rocket ship. Pretty soon, Bill Romanowski showed up from the Denver Broncos. He was the gateway to the NFL for me. Then all of a sudden, I had 250 NFL players.
Text appears over video footage. 1988 Balco Olympic team. Greg Tafralis, shot putter.
Are you going to assault the world record, Greg?
Mr. Zinc. Just call me Zinc.
Mr. Zinc.
So from 84 all the way until 2000, everything that Balco and Snack did was completely legal, completely clean. No athletes were ever given any sort of performance-enhancing drug. Now, were some of these guys using drugs like shot putters? Of course. I just wasn't involved in providing those to them. But I knew the use of performance-enhancing drugs in Olympic sport was rampant.
Carl Lewis is in lane three.
In the Olympic Games in 88 in Seoul, of course, Ben Johnson stands out.
Been handed a piece of paper here that if it's right, it'll be the most dramatic story out of these Olympics or perhaps any others.
Ben Johnson has been stripped of his gold medal for testing positive to using anabolic steroids.
He was one of the athletes that's been under a cloud of suspicion for a long while, as is his coach Charlie Francis.
You offer an athlete only two choices, run clean and lose, or take drugs and win. Then, of course, the choices will be clear.
Working with elite athletes, I realized this is what happens at the elite level of sport. This is what it takes to go to the next level.
Reports on a frightening sign that sports competition is being pushed too far. Steroids.
America's newest drug epidemic. President Bush recently signed a bill which, for the first time, classifies steroids as controlled substances.
And it's the classic dilemma between the fair play associated with sport and the desire to win.
News footage of sprinter Ben Johnson battling through a media pack.
In my experience, 80% of athletes say, I'm not going to invest 10 years of my life and then walk away, so give me those pills.
Tim Montgomery, USA track and field athlete.
I hate losing. I hate for anyone to look at me and say they beat me. And I think that comes from my childhood, because they called me Tiny Tim. I hate the name Tiny Tim. I remember watching Conan the Barbarian, how he pushed the wheel and he became so strong. I would cut grass. We had a push lawnmower. The lawnmower was this tall and it had a little centerpiece right there. So I'd be pushing the yard and everybody riding by looking at little Timmy push the lawnmower. And I'll push all that yard because I wanted to be like Conan the Barbarian. I want to be stronger. I want to be faster. I want to be everything. So I was really, in essence, training myself for my near future. My goals was to be the best in the world, the greatest of all time.
Ken Montgomery of the U.S., maybe a sleeper in this field.
In 1997, I ran 9 times under 10 seconds.
Coming to the line, Montgomery and Donovan Bailey.
So I knew what I could do naturally. I just needed more power.
He's a little bit small. I think he may need to put on a few pounds, and I think his time is coming.
So 1999, I moved down to Raleigh, North Carolina, and I started training with Trevor Grounds, Marion Jones, coach. And the workouts was, couldn't finish them. So I go to Trevor's house and he got tapes of Ben Johnson. I can't do no start like that. I ain't how I start. He's like, no, you see that raw power? And that's when I was introduced to the dark side, performance enhancing drugs.
Victor.
The Ben Johnson race. Eventually, something like 6 or 7 out of the 8 guys were suspected of using performance-enhancing drugs. If you run at least 2 meters faster, this is the difference in 10 flat and 9.8, okay? So you're a guy not on stuff is gonna have a very difficult time competing with somebody who's on stuff.
Tim.
When I got with Trevor Ground and I saw that the best was doing it, I assumed that this was what everybody was doing.
Victor.
When I realized the hypocrisy of all of this, I decided it was time to start playing by the real rules of sport. And the rest is history, as they say.
A photo of younger Victor holding a U.S. flag outside the Olympic Stadium. Over footage of bodybuilders posing on stage. Text reads, 1998, San Francisco Pro Invitational.
I went to a bodybuilding show in San Francisco. And I was introduced to these 25 pro bodybuilders, all the biggest names in the sports. And it's the only professional sport where the use of steroids is a mandate. And so I stood up to tell them we did this testing of minerals and trace elements, but we also have the ability to do all of the comprehensive drug testing.
Zippers open, then what looks like urine streams into cups.
When we tested those 25 bodybuilders, I said, you know these Winstrol tablets you think you're taking? There's no Winstrol in your urine. These are fake.
Text reads, clean result.
That's how I became a part of that world and tried to learn about steroids. It was a new challenge. And that's what makes me tick. You know, that's what got the wheels turning.
Banned Substances Control Group, L.A.
I'm Oliver Catlin. I am the son of the guru of sport drug testing, Dr. Don Catlin. And today I am the president of Banned Substances Control Group. In anti-doping, the level playing field is what we strive for, but it's hard to achieve. Victor knew what he wanted in undetectable drugs, but he didn't know how to make those himself. And that's where the skill set of Patrick Arnold as a chemist came in.
At the Mr. Olympia Expo in Las Vegas is where I met Patrick Arnold. And he just said he had some stuff that seemed to, you know, help with recovery. He didn't really even tell me what it was. And so I bought a bottle of it from him. It was a clear liquid, and you used an eyedropper and you put drops under your tongue. There was sublingual absorption. Took it myself. And I felt great. And then I did some testing on it where I measured my testosterone the next day, the next day, the next day, the next day. And I realized, boy, this stuff acts like an anabolic steroid.
Oliver Catlin.
You know, many of the steroids had been built by pharmaceuticals and just not used. But when we got to Valco and new drugs were literally created, Patrick bubbled hydrogen through gestrinone, a birth control pill, and it turned into one of the most anabolic steroids that was ever created.
Then when I did the comprehensive drug testing, came back as clean and was undetectable. Oh shit, you know, and then the light bulb went on.
And I think he saw performance-enhancing drugs that were undetectable were a much quicker avenue than the legitimate nutrition products that he was selling.
And that's when I started giving it to athletes, was at the beginning of 2000.
A photo shows a younger Victor, muscular and bare-chested. In the present, at the snack facility building, Victor looks through crates of magazines and newspapers.
How about this?
What do you got?
This is Marion Jones at the 2000 Olympics in Sydney that they opened up where she wins by something like 4 meters. That just shows you the type of dominance that Marion had at that time.
Footage of Jones on the blocks.
Going into the 2000 Summer Olympics, Marion Jones was the golden girl.
Here's Marion Jones taking command.
She has yet to be beaten.
And her goal this year, she'll say it, to be undefeated. She's a competitor.
Tim.
Marion Jones is making $3 million a year. Since Sydney, she's going for 5 medals, trying to be the greatest of all time.
The only time I even considered the quest for 5 is when people mention it.
She had sponsorships with General Motors and American Express, Nike, you know, the commercial, can you dig it?
We need more role models. The more, the better. Can you dig it?
I had not talked with Marion, but had talked with her trainer, Trevor Graham, and they were using traditional testosterone and EPO and growth hormone. And they said, we hear you have this undetectable substance. Can you help Marion Jones? And immediately I realized this was a very, very big moment. And I've sent a box of some of this stuff to them.
2000 Sydney Olympics. A woman reads the Athlete Olympic Oath.
I promise that we shall take part in these Olympic Games, committing ourselves to a sport without doping and without drugs.
Once we got there, we created a calendar for Marion. We determined what to take, how much to take, when to take it. Of course, it was all based on circumventing the testing.
Marion Jones has 7 of the fastest 11 times ever run.
I got tickets to sit at the finish line of the 100 meters. It was insane.
Away. Pretty good start for Jones. She's in a winning position early. Stirrup body away slowly.
We were shooting for the top of the mountain.
Jones going hard. Lawrence has had a good first 50. Jones clearly in front. Look at the margin. She's treating them.
I knew she would win, but I didn't think she would blow everybody away Flojo style and win by 4 meters.
She absolutely annihilated them.
Marion ended up winning 5 medals at the Olympics in Sydney. It felt great to just be a part of her success.
Michael Schmidt, New York Times.
I think the thing about the Balco investigation is that it brings you behind the scenes into largely criminal activity that was done in secret. And it's exposing what these athletes were willing to do to try and succeed.
Baseball footage of Barry Bonds.
That one's high, deep right field, gone, home run, Barry Bonds.
Schmidt.
Steroids were banned in baseball at the time, but there was no testing for them. And in the late 90s into the early 2000s, it's just like an explosion in home runs.
Jose Canseco looks like the sort of a comic book hero, huge. Wow, did he crush that one?
Then in 1998, there was this chase to break the single-season home run record between 2 great sluggers, Mark McGwire.
Number 45 for McGwire.
And Sammy Sosa.
He's 1 for 2, and he sends a rocket to number 48.
And it completely captivated the country.
60! Can you say 66?
Saw what Sosa and McGwire had done. At that point in Bonds' career, he was already a Hall of Famer. He basically said to himself, I know I'm better than these guys. There's no reason I shouldn't be performing at that level. But he was at an age when most players' careers are on the downtick, when they're retiring from the game.
And I'm trying to think of what next level can I get to? What can keep me motivated to do the things that I've been doing day in and day out?
Greg Anderson, Barry's trainer, brought him to Balco.
Victor.
You know, he asked if we could work with Barry and test his blood and see what nutritional elements that he may need. And then after, provided Barry with a number of different legal nutritional supplements.
I've lost more championships in my life than ever. I mean, I almost get numb at times that it just eats me up so bad.
In a year's time there, Barry put on like 20 pounds in an off season. My recollection is he weighed 208, and then the following season he weighed 228. And so we had provided all sorts of nutritional supplements, but nothing beyond that.
I think people assume you're like his personal doctor and you gave him steroids all the time.
That's not true. He does have a personal doctor who I met, but it's not me. I not only didn't give him the clear or the cream or any other anabolic steroids, but I've never even discussed steroids with him. Not a word, ever. In my opinion, the entire investigation had everything to do with Barry Bonds. He was the target.
A thin-faced white man faces the camera.
My name is Jeff Nowitzki. I was a lead investigator on the Balco Laboratories investigation, one of the highest profile performance-enhancing drug investigations of all time. You know, I carry an immense, immense love for sport. Basketball, I wanted to go to the NBA until, you know, maybe mid part of college where you realize that's probably not in the cards. And after college, I came across an entry from IRS Criminal Investigation Division, and I'll never forget this. Their motto was, be an accountant with a gun. And I thought, all right, that's something I could be interested in. I remember sitting in a class and having a senior agent come in saying, make cases out of things that you just see around you. You don't need to wait for an official referral from Washington, D.C. You see this really nice Ferrari going down the street, run their plate and see if that person would be making that kind of money. If they don't, then maybe you should look further into that. And I started to hear in the 90s about Balco Laboratories, which, as the crow flies, is probably less than a mile from where I lived. And that despite them claiming that they were a blood testing laboratory, what they were really doing is providing these athletes with performance-enhancing drugs. One of the first things I did was query the currency transaction database and saw that Victor Conti and Balco Laboratories were withdrawing hundreds of thousands of dollars in currency for a purported blood testing laboratory. That by itself appeared suspicious and didn't seem right. Go onto some of the online message boards, and Victor Conti talks very openly about steroids and his knowledge of what drugs do what, about how much they cost, about every athlete that he's worked with. And when I saw these athletes that were going to Balco, including Barry Bonds, I thought to myself, this could potentially get more attention than any investigation before it. So we probably need to kind of expand and see who else is involved.
Tim Montgomery.
My first time seeing Victor was in Sydney, and we partied every single day. Every single day.
Victor.
At that time, he was ranked number 8 in the world.
Men's 4x100 underway. Here's the handoff to Tim Montgomery, and the U.S. has the lead.
So he was one of the top guys. I decided it was time to take it to another level and help him break the world record.
At that time, the record was 9.79, held by Maurice Green. I was in that race 1999 when he broke it in Greece.
9.79, does that ring a bell? As just mentioned, Ben Johnson at that very same time at the 88 Olympics in Seoul, only to be stripped of the gold medal after testing positive.
Whoever break the world record in the 100 meters, you're the world's fastest human ever. It's like a unicorn. I told Maurice, it's yours for now, but I'll be back to get it. I had already ran 9.92 in 1997, clean. Once Victor understood that I had been clean, he said, you're gonna break the world record. I told Victor Conti, I don't care if I die. I want to see what it feels like to be the greatest. At any cost possible. It's almost like selling your soul to the devil.
And that's when I made that decision to help Tim Montgomery to become the world's fastest human, and I took it as a challenge.
And we're gonna call it Project World Record.
Set.
A sprinter trains.
When we got back, we was gonna put together the plan. What do the program needs to look like in order to get 992 to 975.
So you can talk about stuff, but can you implement and achieve it? That's a whole nother, that separates the men from the boys. I immediately reached out to Charlie Francis, who was Ben Johnson's coach, and he lived in Toronto. And then I reached out to Milos Sarchev. They call him Milos the Mind, because he's a very smart guy, in terms of the weight training program. Trevor Graham really was kind of the front man as a coach.
And then Victor Conti, you're behind the pharmacology.
Taking growth hormone, taking insulin, EPO, taking the clear, and we created a calendar.
So when you're on steroids, you have to have a plan that goes with the medication. It was thrilling.
You know, more does not mean better. This is how you optimize the drugs.
He had a system. I got me a real connect, a real doctor, until I found out Victor wasn't a doctor.
A lot of people mistakenly call me doctor. I don't know why, because I guess because I'm interpreting blood test results and I'm giving them the type of information that a doctor would give them, I guess. Most people know me as a bass player. I played with many groups that had albums. The most famous would be Tower of Power.
Archive footage of Victor playing bass guitar on stage with a band.
But I had three daughters. I was on the road 10 months a year. And I'd come back and they'd be this much taller.
Home video.
Hi, camera.
Well, how are you?
How are you?
I want you to tell me what your name is.
What's your name?
Oh, you tell me what's your name.
My name is Veronica.
Where do you live at?
I live at my house.
My youngest memory. There were always athletes around. And oftentimes, the people we were going to support were making big achievements. And so it was exciting.
Could you tell Daddy what the name of the place is that he works at?
Yeah.
What's the name?
It's Balco.
Balco? What does Balco do?
You work it.
I know, but what do I do there? What kind of work?
So I would say in my teenage years was when I really knew, okay, this is my dad's involved in the dark side. And he was just open and honest with me about what was going on. At the time, I knew that he was kind of the mastermind behind this Project World Record effort.
Victor inserts a videotape into a camcorder, and footage of a 100-meter sprint race appears on his TV.
Oh, this is Modesto Relays. This is May of 2001. That was the first race where he won and in a world-leading time, and Tim just destroyed him.
He did?
Win.
They're shaking hands.
They're shaking hands. How cute. I love this. It's the most exciting thing I've ever experienced.
On the back of his shirt, it says Project World Record. We were there announcing that we were going to break the world record.
Tim.
I ran 996. We knew from then it was no stopping.
The transformation was incredible.
Starting Project World Record, I weighed 148 pounds.
We bulked him up to 176. We put like 28 pounds of muscle on him in a short period of time.
Liquid is drawn into a syringe.
Greg Anderson was coming to Balco to help Tim Montgomery with all the weight training. And in 8 weeks, his bench press went from 265 to 345, 10 pounds a week increase. He looked like an NFL linebacker, and previously they called him Tiny Tim.
It was incredible. Felt like Conan the Barbarian. Me and Victor, we was together all day, ate breakfast together, lunch together, dinner together, party together. It became like we're a team. My habits changed. I had a plan how much to take, when to take them, and what to take with them.
You know, he became kind of muscle-bound, and you could see he was running like this because his lats were so big. Then we cut him back to about 160.
Victor Conti was Huncho.
2001.
And then from there, I went to Oslo.
And now on the right, here comes Tim Montgomery. It's Montgomery in lane four with a late surge, unofficially 9.84 seconds.
And I felt so good. Oh, I could beat everybody.
And boy, the difference has been pronounced this year. Only Maurice Greene has ever run faster.
This is the transformation that happens. It makes you Superman.
Montgomery makes personal history, but more importantly, he sends shockwaves through the sprint world. And what has Trevor been teaching you, Trevor Graham, your coach now?
To stay patient and wait for it to come. Don't try to break the world record, but let the world record come to you.
Scenes of the clear drug and calendar dates.
And we was like, oh, next race, we breaking the world record. Next race up, we breaking the world record. You're on the edge of greatness and disaster. That feeling becomes addictive.
A urine test shows two red lines. Clean result. Jeff Nowitzki.
For me, this thing that I love so much, sport, we're being sullied by the presence of PEDs and breaking rules and the unethical decisions of, well, I'm going to break this rule because it's going to get me something good on the other end. And so this case consumed my life. It literally consumed my life. And I, you know, from the time I woke up in the morning to the time I went to sleep at night, that's literally all I was thinking of.
In a reenactment, a contract cleaner vacuums a Balco office hallway and takes out a bag of trash.
What gave you the idea to go through his trash to begin with?
Yeah, I think that was a technique in the first couple years of my career. And a lot of agents didn't like to do it because it wasn't fun.
As the cleaner drops the trash in the dumpster outside, Nowitzki watches from a nearby car.
However, I don't think trash examinations have ever gotten as much notoriety and coverage as mine did.
Nowitzki crosses to the dumpster.
So Balco was a lower risk trash collection. So they put their trash out every Monday night, and I'd go, you know, 11 midnight, got in and out of there as fast as possible.
He puts the trash in his trunk. In the present, he flicks through photos and documents.
This is just various stuff that was unsealed during the Balco trial. This is where the trash was placed every night. It was right about here, where in the mornings the dump, you know, the trash man would come collect it, but most of the time he'd come here and it'd be empty because I took it the night before.
The reenactment continues.
I'd usually drive it to a dumpster that was well lit, kind of in the area, so that I could discard the smelly stuff, food items that I didn't want.
He pulls on latex gloves.
I remember bringing the stuff home the first night, and I started finding these medication used like torn up wrappers. And I'm like, hey, am I right in seeing what I'm seeing right here?
He needed to know what the drugs were that he was finding. And so he called our lab. The lab folks were suspicious, frankly. They were just, you know, some random person playing an IRS agent.
Basically came out and told him what I was doing and what I was finding.
Catlin.
And realized that Jeff really was an IRS agent.
And we started putting some of the pieces of the puzzle together. So this was the first night I did, and this was human growth hormone, a torn up box, the box of testosterone. Here's the note from a world champion shot putter. Here's a check for the next cycle. I need it by the end of the week. Thanks, Kevin. He was as careless and haphazard and what trash he threw away as anyone I've ever run across in my law enforcement career.
Numbers appear beside Barry B. on a ledger. 2001 baseball footage of Barry Bonds.
On top of the wrist. Here's a long home run by Bonds. Number 39. It sails over the fence.
This is the hottest man in the history of baseball, home run-wise, at this point in any season, over 100 years.
In 2001, Barry was going for the 70 home run season record. It was very exciting for me to know him and to be a fan of his and doing my best to help him in any way that I could.
Smith.
So you've had this guy with a Hall of Fame career. He's on the downslide. And all of a sudden, he begins performing at a level that even Babe Ruth couldn't.
Number 45 for Bonds.
I've never seen anything like this in my life besides Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa.
49 homers, faster than any major leaguer in history.
I can't explain it. If I knew what I was doing, I would have done this a long time ago.
50 for Barry Bonds.
And I think it was almost genius that his scheme primarily was Barry Bonds. I'm going to give you these drugs. Don't pay me checks, money orders, wire. Instead, you're going to promote my snack line of supplements.
The acronym stands for Scientific Nutrition for Advanced Conditioning. The AM formula is called Vitalize. The PM formula is called ZMA.
Tell the world that this is the reason why you're approaching the home run record.
It is out of here!
Would you like to vitalize your mind and vitalize your body? Then it's time to get vitalized with the snack system.
On a commercial, Victor smiles into the camera and different supplements flash by.
ZMA and blew up to the point where in 2000, we had four different brands of ZMA in all 9,000 GNC stores nationwide. So you'd walk around any mall and see ZMA in the window. This is Mr. Barry Bonds. This is a photo shoot that he did. They had a capture of him on the front cover.
And I want you to go out and talk to Muscle and Fitness about how great my supplement line is. Hey, Liquid ZMA helped me get 5 medals at the Sydney Olympics and break these home run records.
Nowitzki.
And I mean, that paid off a tremendous amount. I'm sure hundreds of thousands, if not millions, in sales.
Here's the pitch. Bonds hits one high to right field. Out of here. And he joins Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, Babe Ruth, and Roger Maris, the only players to hit 60 or more home runs in a season.
Victor.
Oh, this is a room where we dress up all the athletes. As you can see, we got lots of different gear here. So branding is how I win.
Tim.
We was thinking that, okay, we promoting ZMA. No one would find out about what's behind the scene of the ZMA. He has the top athletes. It's like when you're doing a crime, you think you're the smartest person that's committing the crime. Then when you look back on it, you say, that was the dumbest thing I ever thought of.
2001.
The men's 100-meter dash, presented by Pontiac Grand Prix.
And there's a man who I think is running very, very well this year. Tim Montgomery, I think, is the favorite going into this final.
Has to be.
Back in the finals of the man's 100 meters at U.S. Trials, Nike was going to give me $50,000 to wear their clothes in the finals.
Tim wore the ZMA logo, and we had 2 or 3 different outfits made that were one piece that had ZMA on them, and he wore them in many races. We already had an agreement that was made that he would wear it. And then at the last minute, there was some mention that, oh, Nike wants me to wear their stuff.
And Victor was like, who are you going to be loyal to, me or them? So I'm like, it's $50,000, homie. And he was like, my time is worth millions.
Project team leader's the boss. The project team leader's the one that finances the whole project.
So I was like, okay, you have been with me. I'm going to wear ZMA in the finals. Not one person in track and field has ever ran with a vitamin company on their uniform in the history of track and field.
And it is Johnson out there. Here comes Montgomery. And it is Tim Montgomery.
I wore ZMA in the finals. And then I signed with Nike after the race. And Victor was upset because he wanted to control that contract. He went from being a doctor to now an agent. If I had a signed agreement with Victor, you would have seen it on the screen. For going to World Championship, Victor had already hit me with, he wanted 35% of my winnings. It was the percentage that he wanted going forward.
I never asked for any percentage of his winnings ever. That's because there's a complete lie and a fabrication by Tim. He was committed to me. I brought him to the dance. Now he's going to dance with somebody else? You tell me, is that fair? And so at a certain point, I just said, well, I can't continue with this guy. Terminated my relationship with him.
I'm trying to fathom him saying that he ended the relationship with me. And I'm on the verge of breaking the world record. I like Victor. Victor hurt me when he wanted 35%. Because I consider him as a friend. Look me in my eyes and tell me you feel like I owe you something. What did you give me for wearing ZMA at U.S. Trials? So I was done with Victor, period. And Victor was like, you can't walk away. I'm the show. You ain't gonna run fast without me. I said, watch me. I can do this on my own.
A photo shows Tim in a sprinter stance, wearing a top with ZMA on one side and the Nike logo on the other. The earlier reenactment continues. Outside the Balco building, Nowitzki kills his headlights and waits for the cleaner to dump trash in the dumpster. Seeing the coast is clear, he retrieves the bag and drives off.
One thing, I was finding dozens of discarded one-use syringe wrappers, but no syringes, and thought, man, if I had the syringe, maybe I could send the syringe for DNA analysis. We were able to subpoena the medical waste company. So when they picked up the medical waste, the Sharps box from Balco on a weekly basis, they would bring it back to their hub, set it aside for me, and I would go through that. The syringes, we sent them to laboratories. They were able to extract what the substances were being injected. We were keeping track of what mail was being delivered. They will give you where the mail's coming from and who it's addressed to. And even found an email from Patrick Arnold where he's chronicling sending Victor Conti the designer steroid. Financial ledger showing payments from the athletes, invoices for a substance called epitestosterone. When you use the clear, it would throw your natural hormonal balance completely out of whack. And that was something that anti-doping was looking at. They were looking at something called the testosterone to epitestosterone ratio.
In sport, there's a 4-to-1 ratio that we look for of T to E. If it's above 4-to-1, that's a sign that somebody's doping with testosterone.
Numbers are highlighted in yellow.
Victor Conti created the cream to bring up that ratio so that the testosterone would not get out of whack and show an abnormal ratio. Using these protocols, try to avoid detection. It's absolutely a cat and mouse game.
A handwritten ledger titled Barry includes tests and the words clear and cream.
Annihilated it, but right to the second baseman who turned it into a double play the first time he faced it.
Bunch swings, and there it goes. It's headed for the coming cone. It is gone, a home run. Number 69 for Bonds.
I think the whole thing,
Schmidt,
starts to get a little curious. It's like, what's really going on here? You know, baseball made a big deal, and the media made a big deal. The players were, you know, lifting weights, you know, in ways that players hadn't in decades before, and they're eating better, and, you know, that's why they're hitting more home runs. But it didn't totally add up.
He's within one of the record.
Nowitzki.
You know, I saw these numbers being put out and knew what was going on behind the scenes and knew that they weren't real. They were as a result of using these substances.
Bonds with a drive. Looks like number 70 for Barry Bonds. And it is, tying the all-time record set in 1998 by Mark McGwire.
Can somebody gain 20 pounds in a year, you know, without using steroids? And the answer is they can.
Victor.
You know, it depends upon what sort of training you're doing and how many calories you're consuming and what those calories consist of.
I thought you gave Barry Bonds a lot of steroids.
No, I did not give Barry Bonds any steroids.
There's a high drive deep in the right center field to a big part of the ballpark. Number 71.
Over footage of Bonds hitting a ball out of the park, Tex reads, breaks single-season home run record.
I mean, I was not with him when he was training. Greg was pretty much administering whatever supplements that he took.
And had you given the clear to Greg?
Yes. This seems like a gotcha moment that you want to go say, I know Barry Bonds took steroids. That's not going to happen because I don't know that. Now, do you want me to guess? You want me to guess if I think Barry Bonds took steroids? I think it's likely. Do I have any direct evidence? Only what I saw in terms of the discovery that they gave me after the fact of some of the records that Greg kept indicate that.
Clear is written on different dates on a calendar.
Who's this one?
The unseen interviewer hands Victor a copy of another marked up calendar page. Victor studies it closely.
It says Bib, B-I-B. I don't know who that is. And then it says March, and it says April. So let me see what else is
on
there.
Could that be Barry Lamar Bonds?
Could be BLB, but this is not my handwriting. I hate to speculate or guess. You know, this could have been Greg Anderson. I don't know that. So I this is the first time I've ever seen this.
On one of the dates, written above the word game, the word cream is highlighted in yellow. Text reads 2002 track and field season. Tim.
In 2002, I had no reason to panic. I had every reason to be happy. I'm training good. Then my times was even better or the same, you know?
Tim Montgomery pulling away from everybody with 9.91 seconds. He is getting more and more consistent.
He continued on working with Charlie Francis, with Trevor Graham as the front man, and he had stockpiled enough of the drugs that I'd given him.
No. Not a person in this world got a year's supply from Victor. He rationalizes everything week by week. I only had insulin that was non-detectable, and I had HGH. So as the year kept going, I kept getting faster.
2002.
And so last track meet of the year, we had Grand Prix Finals.
Running 9.91 earlier this year was Tim Montgomery in lane 5.
My mind was all over the place coming out there. I just rode with it.
An Olympic gold medalist, a world record holder.
And you feel like you're ready for it because you trained up to that moment to do something great. And greatness come when greatness come.
Is in lane 4. Very fast start. Out quickly is Tim Montgomery. Chambers beside him now.
That was a part of me dreaming that one day I would be a part of something that would be great.
Montgomery by 2 feet, 3 feet. 9.78 seconds, a world record for Tim Montgomery. Sensational performance. The win.
It's historic.
9.78. They have just posted what his reaction time out of the blocks was. You cannot be faster than 1/10 of a second. He was.
And so, everybody, you see what you just done? And I look back, it is 9.78, and I'm like, and the world just go black.
Win, and it is official, a world record for Tim Montgomery.
When I took the lap and I came back around and I took the picture by 9.78, I said to myself, you done it. You done it.
You know, it was kind of bittersweet because I knew that wouldn't happen without me and without Milos and without Charlie, and it was a brain trust. It took, he certainly couldn't have done it on his own. That's my opinion anyway.
Champions for today and new world record holder Tim Montgomery. You just stepped right in, took it all.
It's unbelievable. That's all I can say, it's unbelievable.
How you gonna top this for next year, Tim?
9.75.
I thought the next chapter of my life was going to be, the greatest of all time. End up being a nightmare.
Oliver Catlin.
This instrument over here that we have is a triple quad LCMS. What you're looking at here can take apart a molecule, put it into multiple different peaks that can then be fingerprinted and matched to a drug in question. So this was what we used to be able to break the code and break the back of Valco. The process of actually decoding what the clear was started when this mystery syringe arrived at our laboratory.
Turned out that steroid was given to USADA by Trevor Graham, a track and field coach who at one time was working with Valco and Victor Conti, but had a falling out.
It was not at all simple for us to figure out what it was. We put it through our instruments. And when you put a substance into a mass spectrometer, you come up with a bunch of peaks. And it's a matter of trying to identify those peaks. And that was ultimately the work that took many months for us to do.
And they basically reverse engineered it and figured out what exactly that they were looking at. So unbeknownst to the athletes, they had created a test for that when they thought that they were using a substance that there was no test for yet.
A monitor shows security camera images of the Balco facility. Victor.
I knew for months and months somebody's watching. And it started with the mailman saying, listen, there's law enforcement of some kind that's copying all your mail every day. Well, I need to start paying attention a little bit more because it's Big Brother's watching.
Near the tail end of that year where I was collecting trash, I had a dumpster that was well lit that I would regularly going to, and they moved the dumpster. And so I located what I thought was another secure one.
Nowitzki drops trash into a dumpster.
We started getting calls from the owner of the building, and he said, stop dumping your trash in our dumpster. I said, oh, my God. And I went over there to see. And sure enough, our trash was in his dumpster. I said, oh, my God. They did it again. They did it again. But the third time this guy called, he said, I'm calling the police, okay?
Nowitzki.
My dad actually called me and said, hey, have you looked at the throwaway paper this week? I'm like, no, why? He goes, you might want to take a look at their police blotter section. And sure enough, there's a story about trash from Balco Laboratories illegally dumped, scared me. And I came very close, I think, to being caught. So the combination of the trash being discovered, the mail cover being disclosed, we thought, it's about time now, I think, that we need to go overt in this case.
Archive footage plays. Cheryl Hurd, news reporter.
So on September 3rd, 2003, my assignment desk received this weird call. Go to this location. Well, what time? Well, we don't know what time. Just be there and wait. We started seeing cars coming in. Looks like agents. What kind of agents? The IRS. We didn't know who they were after, how long it was going to last. They're going into this building. I don't know what Balco is. We were on edge. We didn't know if there would be gunfire. It was very intense.
Victor.
And right through that driveway, and in here, and here, and here, and around the corner, that's where six or seven black cars came in full of SWAT team agents wearing flak jackets with rifles, and a helicopter came and was hovering right there.
Federal agents raided a Burlingame building housing the Bay Area Laboratory Cooperative, Balco.
All of a sudden, SWAT teams came in. It was like out of the movies.
You know, there was some controversy over, they brought, 20, 30 agents. They all had guns. Well, we carried guns. That's what we did. And we brought these guns to every search warrant we did. Everything I saw, they were secured to their side. They weren't drawn as we were making entry.
I looked out the window, and here comes ABC, NBC, CBS. Next thing you know, these satellites are coming up.
So somebody from Nowitzki's team must have called the news desk.
Can you say who your sources were?
Of course I can't say who my sources are.
Nowitzki.
I did not tip them off, no. Their neighbors are seeing who the customers are of this business. They're seeing Barry Bonds walk into this business frequently. People are going to start talking and making some calls.
A representative of Balco was escorted out of the building.
Victor Conti is one of four people charged with distributing the illegal substances.
I'm looking and I'm saying, who is that guy with this ZMA hat on, kind of cocked to the side, sweating profusely? He must be the bad guy. That's my job as a reporter. Find out who the bad guy is.
Federal officials would not tell us what they found inside Balco Laboratories last week. No one has been charged and no arrests have been made.
But U.S. Olympic officials believe Balco could be involved in a conspiracy to beat drug tests by designing a new steroid.
It felt very over the top.
Veronica.
You know, it was like, is there more to this story than I know? You know, like, why is this being amplified so much?
Photos of evidence from the Balco raid. Nowitzki.
When we were conducting the search warrant of Balco, we found banker's boxes with athletes' names on the box, on the folders within that box. And then within those folders were doping calendars, financial ledgers, Quest urine steroid tests, some of them positive, and then multiple boxes full of these drugs. It was a virtual pharmacy that we found in the storage locker. And based on the amount of evidence that I had collected, I knew what questions to ask.
I'm reading here from the memorandum of interview written by Jeff Nowitzki, September 3rd, 2003. And he had a list that he had made. It said track and field, NFL, and MLB. And he had these names on the list.
We went down that list, and absolutely, he said definitively, I've given these athletes the clear and the cream.
He said, did you work with these players or these athletes? And I thought he meant blood testing, nutritional supplements, developing individualized program. No mention about giving any drugs to any of them.
That's not the truth. I mean, I was very explicit about that. I mean, think about it. I go in there and say, hey, have you worked with these athletes, and not ask, what does that work entail? Have you given them drugs? That's the whole reason I was there.
never gave Barry Bonds the cream or the clear. He can't give you one shred of evidence linking me to having anything to do with giving Barry Bonds steroids. And if he's got it, where is it?
Barry Bonds was consistently providing urine and blood samples to Balco. I have those records, and they showed he was testing positive for things like methenolone, high-level anabolic steroid, nandrolone. So there is no doubt he knowingly used performance-enhancing drugs and used a lot of them for a several-year period that assisted him in achieving these hallowed records in sports, without a doubt.
On copies of test results, the word positive appears alongside methenolone and nandrolone. October 20th, 2003. News footage plays.
Finally this evening, you've heard it before, athletes and steroids. Dozens of the biggest names in sports will be taking time off from competition to tell a grand jury what they know about the maker of a so-called designer steroid.
So after the raid, we subpoenaed several dozen of these high-profile athletes to the grand jury in San Francisco and told them, just tell the truth in there, and this may be the last you hear from us. You're certainly not going to be a target of this investigation if you go in and tell the truth.
Tim.
I get a subpoena, and then they sitting down saying they have ledgers and everything on us working with Victor. So I talked about my involvement. I was taking the clear HGH I did use. And I told the grand jury that you don't know what you was getting for Victor. Victor was a con artist. He's not a doctor.
Clear liquid is drawn into a syringe.
These powerful hormonal substances really hadn't undergone any clinical trials or human testing. So they were literally using these athletes as guinea pigs.
Tim.
Victor can read about what HGH does to the body. He can read about what EPO does. And then he can use you to see if he get the formula right.
Even found an email from Patrick Arnold. Hey, here's what I've created. I don't quite know what the dosage is, so you'll have to experiment on that. Some of the female athletes said they didn't get their menstrual cycles for months, if not years, while they were on this stuff. Victor Conti is your doctor and your pharmacist. That's very, very dangerous.
Oh, my God. So I've been doing comprehensive blood testing on everybody, making sure there were no adverse health effects and all the dosages were correct. So the opposite was true.
You become numb to what's right and what's wrong.
A photo of Tim.
At the end of the day, I wanted something so bad.
Beside his world record time.
At any price possible.
February 14th, 2004.
After an 18-month investigation, a federal grand jury in the Northern District of California unsealed a 42-count indictment charging four individuals with distribution of illegal anabolic steroids to dozens of athletes.
Today's indictment charges Bonds trainer Greg Anderson and this man, Victor Conti, with running the operation, money laundering, and using code names for drugs to cover up the scheme.
Illegal steroid use calls into question not only the integrity of the athletes who use them, but also the integrity of the sports that those athletes play.
Well, I think it's rather odd that Mr. Ashcroft got involved. I don't want to say it's political, but it is political.
The use of performance-enhancing drugs like steroids in baseball, football, and other sports is dangerous, and it sends the wrong message. So tonight I call on team owners, coaches, and players to take the lead, to get tough, and to get rid of steroids now.
And it's like going after a fly with a bazooka when there's thousands of other flies running around. It's not even going to make a dent in the problem.
Key words from Victor's court indictment flash by.
If convicted on all counts, the defendants face long prison terms and hefty fines.
I knew that they didn't have the evidence that they claimed that they had. Why do you think on the day of the 42-count indictment that I walked out into a sea of reporters and did this? That meant this.
Mimicking his flex muscle pose on a front page photo, Victor switches to flipping the bird. His daughter, Veronica.
At that point, there were times that he was in the news every day. So every time there were court hearings, there was a ton of media. really villainizing him. 42 counts seems like a lot. You know, I remember him grabbing my hand to guide me through the media and all the cameras and everyone shouting, and it's intimidating.
The whole investigation, in my opinion, was all about chasing headlines. Novitsky was bragging to the undercover agents, you know, saying, I'm going to be the modern day Elliot Ness. I'm going to bust Al Capone. Movie deals, book deals.
Yeah, I probably said that because going back to my training, you as an agent need to find those investigations that are going to get the most coverage. And hopefully other people out there that are breaking a similar law are going to say, I don't want to get caught up in this, and so I'm going to back out.
I believe that Jeff Novitsky was feeding information to the Chronicle.
Nope, not whatsoever. I think it was his narcissistic personality that, you know, Victor was like, no publicity is bad publicity. You know, I remember the night he went on 2020. He was indicted, but the case hasn't been resolved yet. And we got a call from his defense attorney saying, I don't know what our guy's doing. He's going on 2020 tonight. The entire hour is dedicated to everything he's been doing.
I knew that this was the most coveted of all, you know, records and gold medals. So we kind of had a collective dream, and I was the mastermind, so to speak.
You're designing, in effect, a criminal conspiracy to break the world record. That's what it was, wasn't it?
Well, if you're asking if it included illegal activity, the answer would be yes.
And sure enough, he disclosed all of his criminal activity on national television. Nobody does that.
Are you saying that Marion Jones was a drugs cheat?
Without a doubt.
And that you saw her even inject herself? You saw that happen?
That's correct.
Victor Conti is delusional. To start taking out athletes on the system he was part of.
The TV broadcast continues.
Did you feel there was a moral problem when you realized that if you wanted to compete, you had to cheat?
The answer is no. And if you've got the knowledge that that's what everybody's doing, and those are the real rules of the game, then you're not cheating.
In the present, Victor's sitting on a wooded area beside a sign which reads, Balco Park.
I was called a lot of very bad names. Dr. Frankenstein, the Saddam Hussein of sport. But one of the most important things you learn is that you need adversity. You know, if you want to build big muscles, you got to lift big weights.
Victor's second legal team.
Victor was in a difficult spot when we got into the case. He had done the 2020 interview. The case was on the boil, and it wasn't headed in the direction that he wanted it to go.
Victor's previous counsel had already filed a number of motions to suppress evidence, to suppress statements, dealing with the agents in a very confrontational manner. And Victor had to make a big decision, whether or not to try and resolve the case or whether to be embroiled in this battle for the next year. And Victor made the decision to have us negotiate the case.
We thought this case involved warehouses of steroids and millions of dollars because that's the way the story was being told. Once we started to look at it, everything began to shrink and the millions became hundreds and the warehouse became a locker and the amount of drugs became something you could fit in your hand.
And our technical term for the amount of drug in this case was teensy.
Week after week, we would sit down with the prosecutors and we would take another piece of the case and we would say, you've charged this, it's not illegal, and here's why. To their credit, they listened to us and they pushed back. And it was so much fun because there's no question what he had done. He had provided athletes with this substance. The question was that illegal? The clear was not illegal. And our position was even the cream was not illegal.
Which was a diluted amount of steroid, testosterone, in a lotion to be applied on the skin.
And the law didn't apply to mixtures.
The amount of money that Victor was transacting amounted to less than $1,000, which is so below the par of what federal prosecutors generally prosecute.
It was as thin as it gets. There's never another case we've seen where someone was charged with drug distribution of an amount that doesn't even register in the sentencing guidelines, but that was their case.
Anything to say today, Victor?
Outside court.
Afterwards.
I will never forget the day that I picked up the front page of the San Francisco Chronicle and the headline said, 40 of 42 Balco charges dropped. And the subtitle was, The Wrist Slap Heard Around the World.
Victor Conti pleaded guilty to two felony counts today. One, conspiracy to distribute steroids. The other, money laundering.
The feds should be embarrassed. It started with 42 counts. Victor Conti will now plead guilty to only two counts. And we quote, this deal does not require Mr. Conti to assist the prosecution of any other person involved in the investigation.
So the athletes walk.
There will be no federal charges and no criminal charges against any athlete.
Victor Conti was sentenced to 6 months in federal prison. Typically in federal prison with good behavior, you do 85% of that time. So he did a little over 4 months.
Veronica.
Here's some pictures that my dad sent me from the prison camp. This is him and his cellmate. His name was Evil. He was a scare to my dad at first, let me tell you, as you can imagine why. Like, oh, I'm dead meat in this cell, you know, when he first met him. But he had his back and, you know, they became good friends. They're still friends to this day. I was happy to see that he was making friends and really, you know, it was humbling experience for him, so.
I took full responsibility, did not cooperate in any way, shape, or form. I did some wrongdoing. I deserve to go to a prison camp just like I did. I went and I served my time.
Victor opens a videotape case.
And of course, when I went through the front door, they immediately grabbed me and they put me through the metal detector and it was toes and nose against the wall. And here I am being handcuffed and I realized I belong to them now. And I had mailed myself some magazines, and I timed it so that it would get there when I got there.
He slips the tape into the camcorder.
When they brought the mail that day, they put my mail through the food slot in the door. In addition to the magazines I'd sent myself, was this letter from my youngest daughter.
Where do you live at?
I live at my house.
Where's your house and what city?
And there was pictures of my kids. Oh. And, that's kind of where it all hit me. I realized that I'd completely lost control of my life. I hadn't really reflected upon, you know.
Home video of young Veronica plays.
How serious the consequences were. But I thought that I'm a big boy, I'm a man, whatever happens, I'll be able to deal with it. I was being a horrible father. I took their sense of security away from them and created a lot of uncertainty.
I think success is addictive. Praise and credit is addictive.
But
I don't defend what my dad did. I think it's clear that he crossed some ethical lines. And I wish he didn't.
But I didn't realize that this was the same effect on all the athletes' families. And that they had to deal with their kids coming home saying, Dad, at school, they're saying use steroids. The kids don't understand. You know, so it's...
Tim.
Three of my kids run track and field. Second oldest boy has been training with me. He's like, Dad, what steroids do for you? And I said, ruin your whole life.
Runners take your mark.
On a track with his son.
Set.
I told him, if you crossed the finish line and you was first and you tested positive, what did you gain?
As night falls, Tim watches his son sprint out of the blocks.
When you leave, you want to know that you did it right.
Archive footage of Tim practicing his start in the present.
Sometimes you can over-try. You gotta always feel like you don't have a second chance.
Everything I did in the past, all the wrongs I did, My son said, "Dad, I care nothing about that. I believe in you right now." And so as I think about it, Victor Conti believed in Project World Record the same way. He believed in the dream.
Nowitzki.
I guess in some respects, did we create a monster? Maybe a little bit, but I mean, I think most people who hear and see Victor Conti realize him for who he is. And that's, you know, a used car, snake oil, salesman guy, bullshit artist.
I'd like to dedicate my life to helping to create a level playing field for the young athletes of the future.
I'm by far most proud of my contribution to the anti-doping movement. Went and met with WADA, the World Anti-Doping Agency, and I'd reveal specifically how these athletes are circumventing the anti-doping policies and procedures in place.
What they're doing now is they're using duck and dodge techniques. Just take it like this and put it under the tongue.
I think there's abuse going on. I think there needs to be a further investigation.
But how many guys do you think are using?
My guess is about 50%.
50% of MMA athletes or
yes,
professional
of
athletes,
MMA.
Period.
And now because you can't make a living cheating anymore, you want to flip the other side and start calling people out and point fingers? I can't believe anybody even listens to this guy. Anybody even quotes this guy. Victor Conti is a two-faced piece of shit.
So Victor administrated the drugs. Then he gave the drug people the system on how to catch you now so that he can do something different. And that's something you can never take from a hustler, the hustle.
And it just so happens that the red light district of sport, which is boxing, I was able to find a home there.
Devin Haney, lightweight boxing champion.
Meet with Victor, then that's when people will come to me and say, oh, he's a cheater and he's gonna try to give you drugs, or he is giving you drugs and stuff like that, but I never really paid attention to it. Yeah, I mean, I would say that it is performance enhancing, just without the drugs. Victor's definitely the best.
You're a beast. When you're doing high oxygen here, it increases the production of lactic acid. That in turn triggers the production of testosterone and growth hormone. Your speed and your power are 10% greater. There's a lot of things that work that are legal.
2023.
I wanted to see another gear from Devin Haney. He's showing us another gear.
Devin Haney is 30-0. He defends the undisputed.
He'll take any publicity as long as his name is in the lights. So I don't think you can believe a word that guy says.
Michael Schmidt.
The Balco investigation changed the country's perspective and the perspective of the leagues towards drugs.
This record is not tainted at all. At all.
And it set off consequential developments that create the drug testing systems today.
Veronica.
I think the masses remember Victor Conti as the guy who single-handedly brought down the world of sport. I hope that changes.
Victor makes things work for him. I think that that has a lot to do with him controlling his own narrative. I mean, it's the American way. Isn't he still driving a Bentley?
I realize that there's no such thing as bad publicity. Like Google Ads, whatever the keywords that you put in, if you put in Barry Bonds or Marion Jones or Balco or whatever it is, right next to it's an ad for ZMA, right? So in essence, I was turning the lemon into lemonade. Should I send the feds a thank you card? They might have made me help millions of dollars.
Many a tear has to fall.
As Victor polishes the hood of his white Bentley, text appears.
In the game.
Victor Conti claims he has made $80 million from the sale of ZMA and all snack supplements. In 2007, Barry Bonds hit his 756th home run, becoming baseball's all-time home run record holder. After 10 years of eligibility, he was not voted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Barry Bonds denies using performance-enhancing drugs. He did not respond to interview requests. Marion Jones was forced to return all five of her Olympic medals. In 2008, she was sentenced to 6 months in jail for perjury. She is the only athlete to serve time in the Balco case. Marion Jones denies knowingly using performance-enhancing drugs. She did not respond to interview requests. Soon you'll be there at your side. Tim Montgomery's world record was disqualified in 2005. He was stripped of all awards gained after March 2001 and $750,000 in prize money.
Did I deserve to get it taken away? Yes, I did. But the experience I'll always live with. And that's what they can't take back. That moment of doing this, they can never take it back.
Tim mimics his world record-breaking photo. Trevor Graham denies distributing or administering steroids. Greg Anderson refuses to comment on the Valco investigation or Barry Bonds' involvement. Sammy Sosa denies using performance-enhancing drugs.
That's the original sign that was up behind the spectrometer in the laboratory at Valco for 20 years. It's probably worth at least a buck or two, I would think.
You're going to sell it?
I don't know. No, we'll probably just give it to the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Holding up the oblong Valco sign, Victor smiles, and the view fades to black. Audio description created by Ayuno, written by Trish Hodson, narrated by David Edwards. Credits appear. Directed by Brian Storkel. Produced by Howard T. Owens, Ben Silverman, Isabel San Vargas, Chapman Way, and McLean Way. Edited by Evan Vetter. Music department, Jessica Burnt and Chris Swanson. Copyright 2023, Netflix. Other credits continue on screen. Logos, blue sky and green grass within block letters, Propagate, glowing white block letters, Stardust Frames Productions.
A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.